What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Boss Man Show. We're here with the coach, Edward Waters. Tiger Tigers, my brother Cabral Huff here. I finished up his first year there. Edward Waters made a good run in the SIAC tournament. Brother Huff, man, how you doing, my brother? How's things down in Duval County, man?
Oh, man, things are well, man. Excited, you know, after the first season and just ready to try to get better.
I hear that, man. Man, for you, man, this year, man, seeing your guys really compete hard against Clark Atlanta twice, close games against them. You beat Morehouse as well. No teams in the semifinals in the SIAC tournament. Beat Spring Hill, team that played very well in the SIAC tournament. Also, you beat Benedict, another team that went to the tournament. So, you know, as you build this roster out, just seeing your team compete against the top of the SIAC in your year one had to make you feel very, very good.
It did, man. We felt our team really left it on the line every game, man, every time we stepped onto the floor. And that was able to help us compete with the top of the top in our league. I mean, we know how tough the SIAC is, man, but being able to beat co-champions of the East and Morehouse, being able to take down nationally ranked and Division II national tournament team in Benedict, and being able to compete with the other co-champions and tournament champions, Clark Atlanta, you know, losing by one at home and losing basically on a buzzer beater to them at their place on the three. You know, we feel we can compete with anybody. And we lost six conference games by a total of 14 points. So we correct some of those errors we made, the little things, and we think we can be right there at the top of this conference.
And Brother Hump, what's good about what you said, man, like you said, the close games right there. So fans sometimes get caught up in the record, but not really looking at the truth of the game, how close it really, really was. And that goes back to what you said, game plan discipline. No guys getting a block out here, getting a rebound here, a free throw here, all the little plays. But the fact that your team was this close, and that which has to make you feel very good because, hey, this league is tough. And you in every freaking game pretty much in the SIAC.
We think our our pre-conference schedule helped that, playing the Leeds, playing the Columbus States, the Flagler's, you know, the teams like the Young Harris's and teams like that. But our league is so tough. You talk about Miles, a 20-game winner, Morehouse, a 20-game winner, Clark, a 20-game winner, Benedict, a 20-game winner. But then you talk about Spring Hill and what they've been able to do in the Albany States and the Fort Valley States and in Savannah. Like, you know, you're going to have a battle when you face Savannah State. You know, and our side of the conference was really tough this year. And you look at that and go that six teams in the quarterfinals of the eight were from our side of the conference. And then you flip it to the other side, and we did beat Tuskegee. You know, and we had some success, you know, versus teams on the other side, you know, versus Kentucky States and Centrals and Lanes and Lemoyne Owens. So, again, we're really confident about getting better because nothing's going to be given to you. So we're going to work to get better so we can improve and change the outcomes of those games, those close games, and be right there to win the conference.
And when I watch your stream, man, I noticed the fan engagement, man, how excited, you know, the people were to be there watching your games, man, your ADs out there, your presidents out there, man. So talk about the support of Ed Warren's family, man, and how the administration's behind you, too, and helping you as you build this thing out the right way.
Man, I think that was one of the big things about, you know, taking this job was the family atmosphere that I felt when I went into Edward Waters, and from the president to our athletic director to the student body to the other coaches that are there at Edward Waters. And you can see it once you watch our streams, and you can see it, you know, whether we're at home or away, our fans really come out and support us. But they also enjoy our style of play, how hard we play. They knew that we weren't just going to walk on the court and think we were going to get it done. We were going to have to play hard every night. And our style of play, our up-tempo, you know, fast style of play, our defense with us pressing, you know, that brought some excitement to the gym. And that's why we were able to get some of those big home wins, you know, versus Benedict or versus Morehouse or being right there versus Clark Atlanta.
No doubt, that pressure you apply, like you said, you're pressed there, you get back into your press, you take time off the clock, you cause chaos before they get into it. You can't run their sets, you can't run their actions, so you prevent them doing what they want to do. So it's a great, it's on the road too, in that environment. So it's like it causes, you know, dudes to get kind of rattled, and that's good that you do that, man. And it is a fun style play that you play. It's very enjoyable to watch, and y'all see you out the coach, you guys hard, man, and the fans are behind you. They chanting defense loud, man. So because I watch the streams, man, like I said, it's enjoyable to watch, man. And you play by play, you got a good job at setting up you guys talking about what you all do on the stream side and what Joshua does on his side as well.
Yeah. Josh does a great job, man. He does a great job of making sure he has everything he needs to make sure that our guys and our teams are promoted the right way. And then we just want to thank the BSN Network and those guys that came down so many times or even when we were away to broadcast our games. And, you know, when you walk into our gym, obviously our floor is what people always look at, but when you have that big screen that also plays the games when you're inside the gym and you've got that band playing and we've got that tight environment, you know, you can hardly hear. We play Savannah State, who's a rival, and our guys can't hear the play calls in the first half when they're away from us. But that's a good thing. That's what we want for every game. And our kids talk about it. You know, we notice the difference, unfortunately, when we have a home game, when it's break time, you know, right around Thanksgiving to Christmas. So when we come back after January, it's all hands on deck, and the other team feels it.
And you know what's good about that, Brother Huff, man? Like, when you go out there, man, and engage with the student body base and the community base, because you want the people to be behind you. And like I said, you know, my guy Troiano from Tennessee State's over there as well on the football side. So it's like just seeing that, you know, how you all engage on social media with people, getting people really, really – I think you do a good job of that, you know, both in the program, putting it out there, because if people don't know what you got to offer, they're not going to come out. And you got to know what's going on. So, and I'm glad you all do it the way you do it.
Man, that's one of the big things about this athletic department, you know, starting with Dr. Ivana Rich and Josh, about making sure we have all our stuff out there. But other sports teams supporting other sports teams, you know, it was nothing for our guys to be out there supporting football. You know, it's nothing for our guys to be supporting softball, baseball, men's volleyball, women's volleyball, whoever it may be, women's basketball. You know, if you watch the tournament, you know, I think somebody put on Twitter, they're like, you can see how family-based Edward Waters is. You see the men's team behind the women's bench cheering them on. And that's just who we're about and what we do. And I think that's a testament to really being family at Edward Waters. Like, we want every team, everybody here to be successful. And our student body feels that. And so we want to make sure it's out on social media so our community can feel that. Like we're nestled inside the community here in Jacksonville, in the Newtown community. So we want them to be out at our games. And that's why, you know, when I was able to get the job, I want to make sure people understood we are Duval. We are the HBCU that's sitting in Duval County. Please remember that. We know we got North Florida. We know we got Jacksonville University, the D1s. But here we are, the only HBCU D2 institution in Florida, in Jacksonville.
100%, man. You know, like you said, and thank God you're a private school. And I believe you're there. Thank God you're a private school by the AMB Church. Thank God for that.
Yes, sir.
Right there. But yeah, man, and let me ask you, Brother Huff, man, like for you, you all going from NAIA to D2, man, and you got the most wins ever in D2 era, man. So I know for you coming in year one, accomplishing that, knowing what you're trying to build, or going from NAIA to D2 is a different level. So you got more scholarships to work with now, the more so you did the NAIA, what's more needs-based. So talk about that as well.
Definitely being able to have more resources is a big thing for us. And it's not just scholarships. It's budget-wise. It's everything that being at the D2 level offers. So, you know, now, you know, going into finishing our provisional period in Division II, we're ready to go. And that's not just for men's basketball. That's for all our athletic sports. Because being a member of Division II offers you just not some things that people think about scholarship-wise. It offers grants and other things of that nature that can help our student-athletes, that can help our athletic program. So we're really excited about, you know, taking that next step. But we also understand that, you know, where we came from. And we don't want to be remiss without saying we were thankful for those opportunities of where we came from. You know, even at my time at Voorhees, you understand, you know, those battles when you had the Claflins and the Allens and the Voorhees and the Edward Waters all in the same NAIA conferences, it made some battles to go on, man, and it created some rivalries that still exist. You know, when you talk about us playing Allen now, even in the SIAC, you know, or if you get a chance to play Claflin as we did in a scrimmage this year. So those things are really important.
100%, man. You know, it's good to see HBCU growing exponentially. Not how, you know, I mean, we're glad that Grambling won that game of put it on that. HBCU basketball is something for real. It's something taken seriously, not just a charity case. And I'm glad Dante Jackson and his Grambling State team did what they did and competed with Purdue for a while until the size killed them. You know, that's with Zach Edey. But just even Kenny Blackney's team, a three away from tying the game. So, like, if you see what's going on in Stan Waterman's team at Delaware State this year, an improvement. So if you see HBCU basketball, it is legit basketball. Folks should take it more seriously, not just look at it just, oh, that is black dude playing ball.
Man, it's they're great coaches in all these levels of HBCU basketball. You saw Langston, you know, play for the national title in NAIA the other night. You watched what Deontay Jackson did at Grambling. Like, he used to be the head coach at Stillman. So understanding the levels of this thing and how we're able to move up. You see what Rob Jones is doing at Norfolk State. You see what Coach Reed is doing with the women's team at Jackson State. Like, we can go on and on about these teams. You know, Dawn Brown and what she's doing at Arkansas Pine Bluff. Like, we can go on and on about what these men and women are doing at HBCUs and the success we can have. And if other people will start seeing what we see, what we know, boss man, of what's going on, about the family atmospheres at HBCU, about the community engagement, about that raucous environment you go to when you go to a rivalry game or a home game. Ever been to a Hampton Howard game, or ever been to a Central State Wilberforce game? You know, those rivalry, Morehouse Clark game, like, those rivalries are something serious. So when people can understand that and understand the legacy that goes on at HBCUs and why it matters so much, I think you would get a lot more enjoyment and a lot more understanding of why we should be sending student athletes to HBCUs and not overlooking them.
No doubt, Brother Huff, but I'll tell you, man, going to Clark is like a whole nother, I know it's a small gymnasium, but it'd be rocking. You know, going over there to see different teams play, man, when I go to Freetown on my time, it's like, or they play, or when they play Morehouse, they pack up Morehouse Stadium, which is 6,000 people at Forbes Arena. It's really another Clark home game when they play Morehouse. It's crazy, but it's those rivalries. Now, Tennessee State, the only time I got to experience when we played Fisk, first game of the year. But it ain't the same. But it's that Fisk people to come out to the gym. It ain't the same. But I was pissed that one time, but you know, in November. So I got to see a little bit of it. But like being OVC, you don't really get to enjoy it the way you all do. That's IAC or the BIAC or the SWAC or CIAA, you know, and then I level the AAC now. It's like, but yeah, the environment's one of a kind, man.
And we've got to big up the, you know, what they're doing, you know, what Dr. Kiki Barnes is doing, creating the HBCU conference in NAIA. Like, those are tremendous big things that are going on. And I don't think people understand how extremely talented, you know, our league, the SIAC or the CIAA is in Division II, or, you know, how talented those teams are in the SWAC and the MEAC, you know, who have to go play those guaranteed money games before they get in the conference, which sometimes skews their record, you know. And they don't realize how good those teams are. You know, you look at a Howard and how good Howard has been the last 2 years to win, you know, that conference tournament. So those things really matter, you know. And for me, I hated that Jackson State women had to go face UConn in the first round. Like, I didn't think that was a good seeding that the NCAA did on the women's side. But, you know, once people continue to watch and just don't watch until they get, you know, the teams that just make the tournament. Like, watch before then. Watch how we are trying to build these things. Watch these coaches mold these young men and women, and you can see something special going on.
No doubt, like you said, but a great point. The first half of the year is trying to raise money for your program in those conferences, man. You're on the road almost the whole month. You only get a random home game here or there. If you get that, so it's like, you know, so yes, and for Dante Jackson team to be 21 and whoever they were, like, to get 21 wins on you, go on the road for the first half of the year, which is talking about what he did in the SWAC and then doing what he did in the tournament. And so, like, folks don't understand, it's levels to this.
yes. Correct. Like, the same things that he's having to do or you're having to do at a HBCU Division I or even, let's say, in a SIAC or the CIAA, the same teams are having to do that in some other conferences that we don't talk about in the PWIs. But we don't mention those teams that have to go out and get those money games. They only think it's the HBCU teams that have to go out and get those money games.
No, hey, right in your backyard, coach. This school has to raise a certain amount of money, so does Coach Mincy. It's just part of the game. They have to go out and raise money too. So a lot of games they play these big schools is for money. But folks don't, like you said, folks don't really understand it until it comes to their front door still.
Correct.
No, and brother, hey man, you got your guys a 3.31 team GPA, man. Talk about that, man. Really making them student athletes for real. Make sure you do that lesson and get their grades up. Because I ain't gonna lie, I wasn't too hot on my grades at Tennessee State. I ain't gonna lie about it. I didn't see a 3.31 ever there, but you guys was a team GPA, man. Somebody encourage that for your young men, brother.
Man, it really starts with understanding that for our young, you know, men, it's about graduating. As much as we love basketball, it's about graduating, because once you have that paper, that sets you up for life, man. Like, you know, whether you stop at your undergrad or you go get your master's, you go get a doctorate, you know, there are a lot of us that are, you know, that are in my position right now that may have been first-time graduates in our family, like myself, of college. So I don't take that lightly. And I want these young men to go graduate, man, because it's not really about the 4 years or whatever the year is now with this portal, we're talking about 1 year, 2 year, however many years are in your program. It's not just about those years. It's about the 40 years after. So what can we do to set them up to be successful men, successful fathers, successful husbands? All those things matter to us. And so in our recruitment process, we just feel better people make better players. And so they understand that we want championship level basketball players on a basketball team, but we want championship level student athletes in the classroom. So I'm on them just as hard about not executing the play as I am about, have you studied for your tests? Are you going to study hall? You better not miss class.
100%. And brother, let me ask you this, man. At the D2 level, how does transfer portal affect you? I know it affects D1 at a horrible level. How's it affect you with trying to either poach your guys who are very good, or guys thinking they should be D1 and not D2, or they just want them? How's it affect you? I know it's more of a spot on the D1 level, but how's it affect you in D2? How do you all kind of work the portal on your end?
Well, it's not just affecting the D1 level, it's affecting our level too. If you go back to last year and go look at probably, if I'm not mistaken, 5 or 6 of the top performers in the SIAC, they were poached to go up. If I'm not mistaken, Spring Hill lost their 2 best players, one to Cal State Fullerton. I can't remember where the other one went. You know, my former boss, Montez Robinson, lost, you know, his best player that moved up, I believe, to Wofford or Furman. I can't remember. So those things are happening even in our level. If you do well at our level, those Division I's are going to come after you because you are a more experienced, older player. You know, unfortunately, it's hurting the high school players. It's even hurting the JUCO player, because this would be the time most JUCO players were submitting their recruitment. They were committing. But now with the portal opening, it's pushing everything back. And every coach, especially at the Division I level, and even at our level, wants to be older. We want guys that can make immediate impacts, whether that's a portal kid or a JUCO kid. And so you've got to understand and got to adapt to this new era. And instead of complaining about it, because, you know, there's some things I don't like about it, but I can't change it, right? So how do you adapt to it? Well, you adapt to it by understanding that if you have a player that has a remarkable season at the Division II level, he may not be with you the next year. But you understand that you can use that as a plus. As much as you want that player to come back and can help you win, use it as a plus to recruit the next player to say, if you come here and do what you're supposed to do, then somebody will find you, if that's your goal, right? And so that means you just have to re-recruit your players every day, your team. And it doesn't mean they're going to stay, but it means you got to re-recruit your players every day. So it's about relationships, man. It's about relationships, whether that means a relationship to your guys or a relationship to guys that maybe you recruited when you were the coach here. Like if I was the coach here at Edward Waters, or maybe I was a coach somewhere else and they happened to be in the portal, they happened to be JUCO kids. So that thing is trickling down. It affects the Division I's. It affects the Division II's. I mean, everybody's goal, unfortunately, whether they think about it or not, is to go Division I. But everybody can't play Division I basketball for whatever reason. There's just too many players. I mean, let's be honest. Every Division II coach can't be a Division I coach. I'm not a Division I coach, so we've got to accept where we are right now and do the best we can and where we are and enjoy the process, enjoy the moment. I love where I'm at. Like, I love being at Edward Waters. So I want my players to love where they are. Go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. And that's what we try to tell our guys and our recruits.
Hey, you said a word there, Brother Hub. That's how I feel now. In 15 years of my career, like, I ain't about to fight no more. Either you want me to, you know, man, I ain't going to fight with you no more. 15 years, I was a younger boss, but I may want to go fight with you, the Atlanta Falcons. But I ain't going to do it. Hey, look, Atlanta Braves, I don't care no more. I'm cool. I found my lane. NBA, college basketball, I'm cool doing that. It pays well. So, look, I'm blessed. But you're right, man. You got to go where you want. I'm not trying to read. That's why, like, I ain't trying to do that no more. Like, it's whatever. Right. The young cats can go try it and learn like I learned. But, hey, I'm cool doing what I'm doing right now. Nah, you said a word there, brother. Man, but you know what, man? What's crazy is about this portal thing, man, like, I see this at the low, mid-major level. Sometimes you a star. You move up to the high major, dude. They pay you, right? But you don't play. Guess what you're doing? Cost yourself money overseas because they want to see you play.
Ooh, and now you're talking.
Setting the bench of the high major, on average getting 4 minutes a game or whatever, 4 points a game, you could have been at your low, mid-major school, balling out, get a hell of a contract on the back end, just only saw the little of the front end. I thought the big picture on the back. I think some of these guys don't see the back, the big picture on the back end, Brother Hub. They see the front end quick game.
And that's a great point. And it's not just about the low-level Division I's. It's even, you know, at our level, Division II. Like, those guys, if you're trying to go get paid to play, everybody's not going NBA, right? Everybody's not going to the G League. But there are other opportunities to get paid to play this game of basketball, right? Well, the only way to get your foot in the door is that you have to be on the floor. You know, it's just like when we tell high school recruits, like, and they want to go play for every shoe team, you know, AAU team. Well, if you're not playing for that shoe team, then how can we recruit you? we don't know what you can do. Well, the same can be said if you're not playing at whatever, you know, university or college you are, just because it's a high major Division I. Well, you're not going to set yourself up for that team, that agent, whoever it may be, to see you to say, we want him to even come to a workout or a camp, you know, to even work out, because they say, well, he didn't play, so why are we going to invite him? So now you're hoping and praying that whatever you did, maybe your first or second year, whatever place you came from, still matters. But you're only as good as your last tape, your last film, your last season, you know, if we're really being honest with you.
100%, my brother. With Brother Huff, man, good to have you on the show, man. I'm glad you had a great first year. Hope you had more success to you in year two. And we'll definitely see you on during the live period, man, and definitely – we hope to see you in Atlanta in the summertime. Here we can get some lunch somewhere and rap about Atlanta Hawks there.
Yeah, definitely. We got a lot to rap about the Atlanta Hawks now.
Yes, sir. Hey, but hey, thank you for your time this morning, brother. Be blessed as always, man. I love your post of your faith, man, online, man. It's good to see you on Wisdom every morning, my brother. Doing a good job with that, my brother. I want to tell you that as well, man.
And man, we all need it. You know, many times I'm talking to myself, but I'm also understanding that we've got to encourage other people. You never know what goes on in this life or what people are going through. So if I can just be an inspiration to one person, then I think I'm doing my job every day. So I appreciate it.
Yes, you are, my brother. Folks, it's Cabral Huff from the Boss Man Show, Coach of the Warren Tigers, down in Duval County.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.